What if America's greatest national tragedy wasn't just a terrorist attack, but a divine warning? The Harbinger presents a startling premise. The events of 9/11 and their aftermath follow an ancient biblical pattern first seen in Israel before its destruction. This isn't just speculation. The parallels are unnervingly precise, from the locations to the timing to the very words spoken by national leaders. Imagine discovering that modern headlines are actually following a script written thousands of years ago, with each new development confirming the pattern rather than disproving it. The mystery begins when journalist Anna Gorin meets Noriel Kaplan, who produces a clay seal bearing ancient Hebrew inscriptions, the first physical evidence of 9 prophetic harbingers appearing in America, just as they once appeared in ancient Israel before its fall. What happens when divine protection is withdrawn from a nation? For ancient Israel, the breach came in 732 BC when Assyrian forces penetrated their borders. For America, it was September 11, 2001. Both breaches occurred during times of unprecedented prosperity and power, when each nation viewed itself as exceptional and untouchable. Both were deliberately limited in scope, warnings rather than final judgments. The second harbinger reveals an even more specific parallel. The Assyrians weren't just any enemy. They were history's first systematic terrorists who perfected fear as a weapon. They used spectacular violence to terrorize populations far beyond immediate damage, exactly like the 9/11 attackers. Even more remarkably, both came from the same geographic region of the Middle East. When America responded militarily, where did it send troops? Afghanistan and Iraq, the very territories that once formed the heart of the Assyrian Empire. Coincidence or something more? The bricks have fallen, but we will rebuild with hewn stone. The sycamores have been cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. This obscure verse from Isaiah 9:10 describes Israel's prideful response to attack. And, incredibly, American leaders repeatedly echoed these exact sentiments after 9/11. The words, "We will rebuild," became a national mantra, not just about practical reconstruction, but about defiance, rebuilding bigger and stronger than before. The fifth harbinger manifested when American leaders brought a 20-ton block of Adirondack granite to Ground Zero as a cornerstone for rebuilding. They named it the Freedom Stone and declared it would be laid in the spirit of defiance, unknowingly echoing biblical commentaries about Israel's defiant rebuilding. During the collapse of the North Tower, debris struck down a tree at the edge of Ground Zero, an English sycamore. This fallen tree became an impromptu memorial, with crowds gathering to view it, completely unaware of its prophetic connection to Isaiah's words, "The sycamores have been cut down." Later, this fallen sycamore was ceremonially replaced with a Norway spruce, a coniferous evergreen belonging to the same family as the biblical Erez tree mentioned in the prophecy. Officials named it the Tree of Hope and proclaimed it a sign of the indomitable nature of human hope. What makes this truly remarkable is the location. Both trees stood in the courtyard of St. Paul's Chapel, the very place where George Washington and America's first government prayed after the inaugural address, dedicating the nation to God. The prophet explains, "The nation's ground of consecration will become the ground of its judgment." While physical signs are impressive, words carry even greater power. The eighth and ninth harbingers appeared when American leaders publicly proclaimed Isaiah 9:10. 3 years after 9/11, a prominent senator delivered a speech quoting this verse word for word, building his entire address around it. The day after 9/11, the Senate Majority Leader quoted the same verse and added, "That is what we will do." In 2009, the president himself declared before Congress, "We will rebuild, we will recover, and the United States of America will emerge stronger than before." None of these leaders realized they were pronouncing judgment on America by invoking the same vow of defiance that preceded Israel's downfall. Three witnesses, the biblical standard for establishing truth beyond doubt, unknowingly sealed America's prophetic pattern from the very capital where the nation's laws are made. How could this happen unless something beyond human orchestration was at work? The mystery deepens with the revelation of the Shemitah, the biblical Sabbath year when debts were canceled. America's economic collapse following 9/11 followed this seven-year cycle with mathematical precision. The 2001 stock market crash after 9/11 occurred on September 17, 2001, the 29th of Elul on the Hebrew calendar, the final day of the Shemitah. Exactly 7 years later, the 2008 financial crisis culminated with the greatest single-day stock market crash in history on September 29, 2008, also at the 29th of Elul. What are the odds? Both crashes occurred on the specific day ordained for debt cancellation in biblical law, a day that comes only once every 7 years. The global crisis began symbolically with Lehman Brothers being let fall by the Federal Reserve, triggering a cascade of financial failures. Shemitah in Hebrew means the fall or the letting fall, perfectly describing what happened. No human hands could orchestrate such precise timing across multiple events spanning 7 years. The final piece connects 9/11 directly to America's founding. On April 30, 1789, after his inauguration, George Washington led a procession to St. Paul's Chapel to consecrate America's future to God. This chapel sits at the corner of what would become Ground Zero, making it America's original ground of consecration. When the towers collapsed, St. Paul's was the only building in the vicinity to survive completely intact. In his inaugural address at Federal Hall, Washington warned, "The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself hath ordained." When the towers fell, the shock waves created visible cracks in Federal Hall's foundation, physically linking America's founding warning to its modern awakening. The harbingers aren't meant to condemn, but to awaken. Throughout history, God has shown mercy to nations that genuinely repent, from Nineveh's dramatic response to Jonah's warning to King Josiah's reforms in Judah. America's hope lies in 2 Chronicles 7:14. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." This requires more than comfort-seeking after calamity or patriotic religious platitudes. It demands confronting moral decline, cultural degradation, and modern idolatry. The cross discovered in the ruins of Ground Zero symbolizes this hope, that even amid judgment, mercy remains available to those who turn with sincere hearts. Will we recognize these warnings before it's too late? The harbingers continue to appear. The pattern continues to unfold, and the clock continues to tick. The question isn't whether the warnings are real, but how we will respond to them. Our national destiny, and perhaps our personal eternity, may depend on our answer.